Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. We'll check in with Ben Volin in a second. He's covered the Patriots for years, covers the entire National Football League for the Boston Globe. This is a big one tonight. And I believe there's supposed to be snow at the game as well. It's like perfect. Right? Perfect. Football weather. It was perfect football weather in Las Vegas. I'll tell you about my experience with the Raiders and the football team upcoming. I love that it's a Burns. It's like a Burns and Allen sort of bit or an Abbott and Costello sort of bit. And I do wonder if the Who's On First is a dated reference. Because I've actually heard Who's On First and I'm not sure anybody else has. I don't know. Second base. Anyway, let's welcome in Ben Volin. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Feels like this game, like we all believe that it's bigger for Buffalo, kind of big for New England in terms of, one, they'd be the number one seed going in their bye week, but two, the legitimacy of not just being competitive throughout the league, but getting back to the being at the top of the division.
No doubt. I think maybe there's more external pressure on Buffalo just because they came into the season with the higher expectations than the Patriots, but make no mistake, this is a huge game for New England. They lose, I think they fall down to number 5 in the AFC. I mean, it is super tight, 1 through 5, 1 through 6 in that conference. So, you know, they're number 1 right now as we speak, but this is a team that easily could fall into, you know, wild card or even out of the playoffs if they hit a bad stretch here. So this is a huge game. And, yeah, to your point, legitimacy. Look, I don't think the Patriots have been totally just beating up on terrible teams. I think going into L.A. and beating the Chargers, that was a good win. Beating the Titans, I know they were shorthanded. I still think that was a good win for them. But to go on the road and to do it against Buffalo tonight in front of a national TV audience on a day where, I mean, it is windy here in Buffalo. It's going to be 25-mile-an-hour winds for this game tonight. So this is a huge kind of prove-it game for Mac Jones and the offense. They're 5-0, the Patriots are on the road this year, but, Doug, I don't think they've had to use a silent snap count yet. They basically had home games in L.A. and Charlotte and Atlanta, and they haven't been tested in a road environment like they will tonight. So this is a huge test for Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Is the league catching up to Lamar? Remember, I'm trying to remember who it was. Maybe it was Albert Breer who was quoting a defensive coach in the NFL, and, you know, you had so many people have slings and arrows towards it. But you look at the 4 interceptions last week, what happened in Miami, and, you know, I know it came down to one play, but he's not playing, not dominating the way he had previously. I think it's a fair, at least, discussion. Do you think that's what's happening with Baltimore's offense?
I definitely think it's fair. It's 4 straight games, Doug, that they've been held below 20 points. So that's very telling. And I think that Dolphins game, I think Brian Flores and the Dolphins kind of provided the blueprint for how to slow down Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and it's to send the house. I think the Ravens have been getting blitzed like crazy, and they've been leaving the Ravens receivers in these one-on-one situations, and Lamar just hasn't been able to get them the ball, or they haven't been able to win their routes. And I just think teams are just blitzing Lamar Jackson into oblivion right now, and he hasn't figured out a way around it. So, yeah, in a sense, I do think the league has figured out Lamar Jackson a little bit. It is very disconcerting the way that they're playing. And even though they've still won some games the last few weeks, they haven't played well at all. And, you know, when it comes to playoff time, you're only going to get the good teams. So this is a Ravens team that needs to figure things out offensively. And let's be honest, they've been hit by injuries hard too this year. They're dealing with a lot on the injury side. Might be too much to overcome, but I just think Brian Flores provided the blueprint of just blitz Lamar Jackson into oblivion, and I don't think he's shown that he can handle it.
Okay, now do the Chiefs, right? They won, and the defense continues to impress, but the offense kind of sputters along. Like there seems to be this, well, they're winning camp. On the other hand, still just haven't figured out that offense, and they have a lot of weaponry. And for Pat Mahomes to be, again, figuring out and winning, but not dominating, how confident are you that the Chiefs can figure it out before the season's up?
Well, their defense is playing pretty well, so that's a good sign. But, I don't know if the offense is ever really going to figure out, because that's another team where I think the blueprint has been provided. You play the two deep safety, and you just take away the big pass, and you make Patrick Mahomes convert 14 straight plays down the field to score touchdowns against you. And this is a Chiefs team that I think they get antsy. They don't like having a check down and death by 1,000 paper cuts. And I think Mahomes tries to do too much at times. There was that interception last night where, you know, he drops down to a three-quarter arm angle and he ends up throwing it a little high, and it's a deflected interception. And, you know, it's a play where he didn't need to do all that. You know, sometimes I wonder if Mahomes just kind of struggles to take the easier play at times. So, the Chiefs, you have to be pleased with the fact that their defense has turned it around and they're winning with defense, which is good. But I just think the offense is in a little bit of a funk, and it's up to Mahomes to be able to figure out how to move the ball underneath and be a little more patient.
Are we supposed to be surprised that this may be Ben Roethlisberger's last year with the Steelers?
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't know if he has a choice, to be honest. I was a little surprised that the Steelers even ran it back with him. They really have not done a good job of kind of preparing for the inevitable. I mean, it's not like Roethlisberger is, you know, a spring chicken. He's 39 and has not. He had elbow surgery a couple of years ago, and they just have not drafted a quarterback for whatever reason. This, to me, is a team that's going to be all in on, like, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson this fall or this spring in free agency. I think that going the veteran route, assuming a few of these guys shake free, that probably makes a little more sense for the Steelers than starting over in the draft. But, no, not surprised at all to kind of see that report. And I don't think he has much of a choice. I mean, Ben is, you know, they're still winning some games, but it's not because of him. And clearly, he looks like his best days are way behind him.
Okay, so I'm watching Seattle yesterday, and Russell Wilson was back to kind of doing Russell Wilson sort of things, right? Obviously, they had the fake punt, which was gigantic. Jimmy Garoppolo with two interceptions was, you know, it's kind of classic Garoppolo, so he's maybe regressing towards a mean. But what do we make now? Like, Lockett got, I think, caught 7 balls. DK caught 5 balls. And this is against the Niners team that people respect. I last week my opinion was they're going to have to blow this thing up. Do you remain with the same opinion in Seattle?
You know, I don't think they have to blow it up in terms of blowing out the coaching staff. They just signed Pete Carroll to a contract extension, through 2025. So I don't think I know the Seahawks owners have more money than God, but I don't think they want to, you know, fire him after giving him an extension so soon. And I don't think you need to blow it all out, but I do wonder if Russell Wilson, after last summer, you know, very publicly stating that he wanted out and even gave a list of teams that he would go to, I do wonder if he's going to make that push again. And, you know, you say blow it up, but they don't have their first-round draft pick. They gave it up in the Jamal Adams trade, which is just turning out terribly for them. They've got a safety who's a liability in pass coverage, and they gave up 2 first-round picks for him. I think right now that pick is number 4 or number 5, so that's a huge pick that Seattle's not going to have because of that Jamal Adams trade. So I think the offseason is going to be about trying to, you know, kiss Russell Wilson's butt a little bit and keep him in town and make him happy and keep the thing together, because I don't think they're far off. I think when you have Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, you're going to be a contender. Just a lot of injuries and things kind of went awry this year, but I think they can retool and get back after it next year. So I think this offseason is really about just kind of appeasing Russell Wilson.
What do the Browns do with Baker when the season's done?
Yeah, it's a big decision for them. But, they have another year of time. They triggered that fifth-year option. So they still have one more year before they have to sign him. So maybe they just let him play it out. Maybe they draft a third-round draft pick next year just kind of to hedge their bets a little bit. And they give him one more year to really put it all together. This year has not gone well. You know, he is playing through those injuries, so you have to give him credit for the toughness and wanting to be out there. But I don't think he's proven that he's the guy you want to sink $30 to $40 million a year into. You know, I don't think he's earned that next contract, but they have a little time. So I think maybe you use as much time as you can and let him play out next year and kind of let the chips fall.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so this one is really, really interesting to me, right? Just it, and forgive me if it's not interesting to you, but it's really interesting to me. I watched Gardner Minshew play yesterday. Why is he a backup? Like, he was, do you think he's always going to be a backup, or does he start somewhere else soon?
I still think he's like a fringe starter. He's definitely one of the best backups in the league, and I know that sounds like kind of a backhanded compliment, but yeah, you know, he's got a little Taylor Heinicke, Gardner Minshew. You know, they kind of run around, make some plays, make things happen. The game isn't too big for them, but they're still not. You know, I'm still not sold on Heinicke, even though they've done well, and I'm still not totally sold on Minshew as a full-time starter where defenses are preparing against you every week. What I don't understand was why Jacksonville was so desperate to get rid of the guy. He's a quality backup. He's young. He's making league minimum. He's under contract for 2 more years. And to me, he'd be the perfect guy to take the pressure off Trevor Lawrence, or, you know, if Lawrence gets banged up, you can have Minshew keeping the team at least respectable. And they traded him, and they only got a sixth-round pick for him, too, in Jacksonville. So that, I think the Eagles got a total steal. That's, you know, to have a backup quarterback who's making no money and has started a lot of games in the league and can make plays and win, I think he's a very valuable chip. So the Eagles got away with one there, and I don't know how more teams did, you know, jump on that opportunity. But I don't know why Jacksonville got rid of the guy, other than they just didn't want any sort of controversy for Trevor Lawrence, because Minshew was actually a decent player and it was fairly popular in Jacksonville. So maybe that's the only reason they got rid of him. They just didn't want to have any sort of locker room controversy.
I'm kind of privately disappointed in the Niners. I thought they were going to be rolling, and to lose that game, you know, when they had such good momentum. And I get it's any given Sunday and teams that look good. That one, I thought that one should sting them more than others.
No doubt. And, you know, to lose to a Seahawks team that's clearly kind of down and out, and they could have exercised so many demons yesterday. I think they're now 1-10 in their last 11 games in Seattle. So that's a place where they've really just struggled over the last decade. And this was a winnable game. They were up 17-7. Jimmy, my guy, throws a really bad pick. Let's the Seahawks right back in the game. You know, it was a little fluky. You know, the Seahawks they got stuffed on the goal line. The Niners marched 95 yards, and then they get stuffed on the goal line. So the game that kind of could have gone either way, but telling that Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't pull it out. You know, they're still in the number 7 seed, the Niners, so they still have everything ahead of them. And the NFC is pretty terrible after those top 4 or 5 teams. So they still, I think, are sitting good for the playoffs. But no question, disappointing loss yesterday. And Jimmy's got to cut down on those interceptions. It seems like every week he's throwing 1 or 2 that are really hurting the 49ers.
Completely agree with you. Ben Volen, he will be. Are you going to the game in Buffalo, or are you at home?
I'm here in Buffalo. I just downed a plate of buffalo wings, so I'm ready to go for the game tonight.
Yeah.
It's cold, it's gray, it's windy, it's Buffalo football, man.
I saw did you see the goalposts and the flag blowing? I mean, like, it's like gale force winds. This one, did you see the over-under went from 45.5 to 40?
Yeah, see, I know the weather's tough, but I think defenses are going to factor into the scoring here. Josh Allen has committed a lot of turnovers. I want to say the Bills have 11 in their last 4 games, and the Patriots have been on fire with creating turnovers. So I do think defense is going to factor into the scoring tonight, and it's going to be about whichever team kind of plays a cleaner game and doesn't turn the ball over, I think, is ultimately going to win.
Awesome stuff. Ben Volen, enjoy the cold. I hope you enjoyed the Buffalo Wings. Were they from Anchor Bar? Did you go to the actual home of the Buffalo Wings?
I wanted to, and then it was like an hour and a half wait for the wings. You know, it's a big game day here in Buffalo. I think everyone in town took the day off from work. I mean, it feels like a federal holiday for this game. So the wait was too long at Anchor Bar, so I just got a plate at my hotel. Had a solid meal now.
Wow. He did room service and calling it Buffalo Wings because it's technically in Buffalo. Good stuff. Ben Volen, I'm kidding with you. Thanks, Ben.
All right, my man. See ya.
Ram is redefining what a truck can be, leading in interior design, technology, and overall quality. If you're buying a truck in the past, good luck. If you're buying a truck today, buy a Ram. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. All right, so trip to Vegas with my my youth team. I want to tell you about the experience of going to Raider game. You can't say Raiders normally. You have to say Raider with some sort of over-pronunciation or too much weird energy with it. I'll explain why upcoming. But first, listen, if you want to stay...
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, a lot of juggling that went on. I have six youth teams in my program for four different age groups. And when we started at 11 years old, we go up to 14 years old, and there's six different teams. And so on a given weekend, I got to manage, you know, how many of those six teams want to play. Well, my son is 12. He plays in the 12s and the 13s. And we haven't traveled because of COVID. And, you know, usually travel basketball teams, you know, you go away once a month for, you know, during the basketball months. And then in the summer or late spring and summer, you travel a bunch, right? Some teams spend 2 or 3 weeks in Vegas because there's so many tournaments. And we've played a lot of tournaments here in Southern California in all different sorts of locations. But at some point, you just kind of get fried on playing against the same team with the same refs in the relative same locations. So we headed out. My thanks to the guys out in Vegas who kind of made it work. We had the actual tournament portion of it was canceled because you had some teams canceled with COVID. Big City Hoops organized a shootout. We played five games. They won all five. They played great. It was really kind of camaraderie building for the boys. And they had a blast. And one of our dads, he moved here from Vegas, and he was unbelievably kind with all his time, his house. And we got Raiders tickets as well. So I've been to SoFi this year, and I don't know if the difference is as great as like a couple of billion dollars. And remember that the SoFi Stadium, it's part of SoFi is like a whole complex, right? There's the stadium, but there's also all these buildings. There's some buildings that surround it that are where the NFL and the NFL Network headquarters are actually located. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you that SoFi was a little bit more impressive than Allegiant. Once you got inside and outside, just the totality of everything going on there with the man-made lake and whatever, like all of those things a little bit more. But Allegiant Stadium is dope. I mean, it is really cool. I mean, the fact that it's the only, have you ever seen an all-black stadium? And it's got the lighting aspect to it is really cool. You drive by at night, it's black, but then the whites illuminate it, and it's called the Death Star, and the nickname works. And really, the outside, it's not over the top. You know, you'd expect like in Vegas, maybe over the neck. Like, nope. It's classic. It's clean. Inside, it's really nice. The only negative I could, there's two negatives I could find. Okay. One is, and this isn't their own fault. There's an app you have to have, and they tell you beforehand, the Clear app, and you got to download your COVID vaccine. Your digital vaccination card. If you do that, you get the Clear app. You can walk kind of right in. The issue is if you have a minor that doesn't, I think for the Clear app, you got to be 13 or older. And then you also have to have a digital vax card. We don't have the digital vax card. So you have to wait an alternative line. And though it moves, it's a good 45 minutes to go through the line and get the approval and then go in like it. And there are times which it was probably over 45 minutes. It's like a line at your favorite roller coaster, Disneyland. Like it is not good. So that element to it, which I'm hoping sometime soon will go away. That's a negative. The only other negative I could find is though they have two really big and really beautiful, like the new digital boards, the juxtaposition of those boards where you have to look to the end zones, as opposed to in Atlanta, in Dallas, and in LA, you have these different over the top, crazy expensive center boards. That's the only thing I can find is missing. And they have this window that's a window to the city of Las Vegas, right? You can see the strip, and there's the Al Davis flame and everything in one of the end zones. That's never been open. I don't think it's going to be open because it's probably one of those like, hey, look what we can do, and it looks really cool. But, you know, Sammy Hagar actually played at halftime 2 games ago. They had Reverend Run from Run DMC playing yesterday. And it feels like the reality is there's got a stiff breeze and everybody's food and drinks might go flying. I don't know if that it's a little like, hey, the architects put this in and it's really cool, but no one's ever going to use it. Right. It's like the Cowboys Stadium. You know, Cowboys Stadium has a retractable dome. They almost never open the retractable dome. But the location was and has always been the perfect home for the Raiders because you can. Oakland, you get there with a flight or a drive, mostly a flight. LA, you can get there with a flight or a drive. And then Vegas is going to embrace this team as their own. It changes anyone's perception of that city. And then they do this really cool thing during timeouts where, if you remember as a kid, when all the lights would go out and then like for a pregame warm-up or for an introduction and then to turn them on, you know how hard that is to get like gym lights on? Well, they'll do something. Obviously, I know times have changed and LED lights and it makes a difference. But they have this really awesome lighting effects where the stadium basically goes like dark. Obviously, it's not like unsafe because it's a translucent top, much like SoFi. And then they have this kind of lighting that goes around and draws your attention to the video boards. And then they do pump up videos during the timeouts. It's very, very cool. Getting into the stadium, not having a center hung video board aside, this is going to work forever. It is going to be a signature team for the league. Like that'll be the game where when your team goes, you're like, you know what? I've never traveled to a road NFL game, but it's Vegas. Why the hell not? It's when I say perfect, perfect. More so than NHL, more so than NBA, more so than anything else they can put there because it's a, you know what, 2 nights is about enough. 3 nights, you feel like, God, maybe I could get some tax benefits. 1 night is way too short. Perfect town for the Raiders and for the NFL and pretty close to perfect in a new stadium. Now I've never been to Seattle. And was it Quest Field? Is it still Quest Field? They all change names. Huh?
It's Lumen, L-U-M-E-N.
Lumen, that's right. It changed names to Lumen.
Hello, Lumen.
Hello, Lumen. Lumen. Best stadium you've been to in the NFL?
U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. I haven't been to SoFi. I haven't been to Allegiant. Actually, I haven't been to Lumen, but U.S. Bank.
Hmm. Okay. I forgot U.S. Bank. There's another place. They have a center score. Do they have a center scoreboard? I'm trying to think.
No.
They don't either?
No, but they... Yeah, it's just it's a massive, and you know they have a also like a view of the city as well with the glass and the translucent.
Yes, they have a cool. Roof. Yeah. There's like purple. It's like that one looks purple on the outside as well. That one's really cool.
It's built like a. You know,
I forgot.
Viking
I've been there. Yeah. Yes. That is a cool place. And that was a place that people didn't know. You know, there was hey, can you support long term? Now, Buffalo's in this position where they're going to have to build a new stadium. If you're in Buffalo, I don't think you build a dome. I just don't.
No.
Like, right? Like, that's part of what makes the Buffalo Bills the Buffalo Bills. And I understand it goes counter to the, wait a second, in the places that really need a dome, you're not going to have a dome. But yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's also a heck of a lot cheaper to be able to do that. And then you'd have to also really take into account... This is not meant to be disrespectful to the area, but how often are you getting Final Fours? How often are you getting, you know, those Super Bowls as well? I think would be part of the conversation.
Yeah, and look, Minnesota got a Final Four. Now, they had a Final Four at the Metrodome. They got a Final Four, although now with all these new domes, like, that's the big question for, like, what is the, what would possibly be the logic? And honestly, I believe this, just like last year, the NCAA tournament was all one location. The place they should do it is Vegas. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine how great that would be?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even just take a look at what has happened with, like, the new stadiums in the NFL Super Bowl wise, and which ones have now gotten into the rotation yearly, and it's more about the city and the area. Like, Arizona has, you know, held a bunch of Super Bowls and will again next year. However, Dallas had the one and done. You know, after the ice storm hit Super Bowl 45 with the Packers and Steelers, and you thought that that place was likely to get into the rotation of moving around and getting stadiums, and it hasn't. Houston's been more in the rotation than Dallas has. So it's also just of you know, realistically holding, I think, events as well.
Big time. Well, events. Also, and Houston's not right in downtown, but it's closer to downtown. I think Dallas's location, though it's in between the two cities, is a little bit problematic, right? Like, it's in, but so is Glendale. But, I mean, yeah, to be honest Glendale's, with you, so is Glendale. It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, so it's more just, I think, of how a city can put on events, and then just the stadium. Like, the stadium may get you one, like it did with Detroit. You know, Indianapolis, they had such great weather that week of the Super Bowl, but it's still, again, they haven't gone back to Indianapolis, and it's now going on 10 years since the Giants and Patriots played there.
Yeah. No, but those ones are usually awarded, you know, to the, and that's where Buffalo probably is going to hold out hope. Like, look, everybody else has built the stadium and used city funds. They've gotten rewarded. They get rewarded with the Super Bowl. I just feel like you're pushing it with Buffalo.
Yeah. I really, and plus, if you're going to go back to cold weather, you would just probably just try to make it work in New York City again.
Yeah, but no dome there. Now, there's a place that they should have done a dome, and they did not. And they were going to have a dome. Remember, the Jets were going to build a stadium on the island of Manhattan, and the West Side Stadium, and that one got shot down. But that would have been, to me, that would have been what SoFi is going to become. Like, SoFi is going to host everything. My only fear with SoFi is that open air aspect to it, and whether or not that limits it on some level for basketball, right? Because there actually is a breeze inside that building. It's a weird building. It's cool, but I don't know if it actually fits the functionality of having basketball in there. And I wonder what happens, you know, when the Angels decide to redo a stadium or build a new stadium on their same lot. Do they go and play? And are they able to play in SoFi? Or are they playing Dodger Stadium, which, you know, they've done before as well?
And I think there are other places too. You talk about you know, cities expanding and growing as they are, and see what the stadium has done for Las Vegas. You think of a place like Nashville, where I think there have been conversations about the Titans maybe getting a new facility. You know, who knows? You talk about Texas, who knows about what's going to happen with Austin, San Antonio in the next 10 years, and how that landscape may change, and what you would do facility-wise. There's a lot that, you know, in this changing world of places, when you see now what has happened to Las Vegas and what has happened now with that stadium, I think that there are other cities that continue to, you know, grow by huge amounts in the U.S. that could also be in play for new facilities.
No question about it. Dan Byer, Doug, with me, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know, it was really, like, the Vegas thing is fascinating to me, because it is a city that has long been, you know, it's like the mafia, right? Where they're just trying to go legit. Like, hey, we're trying to be a legit city. Yes, you know, tourism is our lifeblood, but we want to be a legit city and a legit, you know, world-class sports city. And while hockey helped, doesn't do what the NFL does. And the NFL got them, you know, a building. And there are other buildings in town for sports. You know, T-Mobile is, that's an NBA caliber arena. But I will say that this was probably the biggest win of the day was the Lions finally getting a win. This is Dan Campbell after the win.
This game ball goes to the whole Oxford community. All those were affected. And that being said, man, I want us to not forget these names: Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Juliana, Justin Schilling, Tate Muir, Phoebe Arthur, John Ashutu, Riley France, Elijah Mueller, Kylie Osiji, Aiden Watson, and Molly Darnell, who's a teacher. Those names, for all those, you know, will never be forgotten, and they're in our hearts and our prayers.
I mean, I know that other people, and for the record, like, you can go back and trace the shows, like, because I got to do a sideline for an NFL game for Fox a couple years ago, and I remember sitting in the Dolphins practice facility, and they were talking about the difference in all the coaches that they had. Tony Sperano, remember Tony Sperano? And it's interesting what's happened to the University of Miami was kind of with the Mario Cristobal hiring and Manny Diaz being kind of left out in the wind before ultimately he was let go today. It reminds some of Tony Sperano, who they tried to hire Jim Harbaugh, and Tony Sperano was still the coach and then coached one more year, and then he was summarily fired. But we were talking, and to a man, everyone said, like, you know, the guy who everybody liked the best was Dan Campbell when he was the interim coach. He went from a tight ends coach to a head coach. Because the job of the head coach is what Dan Campbell does, which is motivate everybody. You got to be organized. You got to be focused. Things you know about. You give your input. Other things you kind of lay out, and you're just kind of CEO. And it's not because, I mean, just the human effect of it, but it's the idea of really having perspective and motivating people. And while people made fun of him for his, hey, we're going to bite and clutch and scraw and get down and bite somebody's kneecaps and what that sounded like to him, like, I got it. I got it at the time. I get it now. My team is going to play hard or those guys won't be around here. And what he's saying, we're not any good, but you know what? You won't know it. By the time you play us, you'll know you played us. That's how his team plays. They play with energy and passion. And I thought that, like, that was one for the good guys. It doesn't mean the Vikings are bad. That was a cool moment yesterday in the NFL. Very cool. You need to hear what Colin Cowherd said about the recent college coaching hires in the country. That's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
This is Colin Cowherd talking about the recent college coaching hires.
All you guys are bellyache in the last week about integrity. Well, y'all got a good coach. And in the end, the Oklahomas, the USCs, the Miamis, the Notre Dame, you hired somebody that you consider a one percenter. And you had to pull them away from here and pull them away from there. And the timing's never great. But the NCAA has these early signing periods. So schools are backed up against it. When they fire a coach, they got to get a guy in 24 hours so he can build a staff and recruit. But in the end, every school that just hired a coach thinks he's a 1-2 percenter. Half will be right, half will be wrong. But I'm never bothered by the process to get him because I've always understood, and I think most of you had, it's a business. By the way, tenure, professors, is a business. You want to get your tenure. Everybody wants to get their tenure so they can get that pension for the rest of their life. It's all college campuses. They recruit. The fundraising is a business. The recruiting is a business. The sports is a business. The ranking of universities, it's a business. Everything's a business on these college campuses. Everything from fundraising to football to the library to donations. It's all a business.
It's brilliant. Honestly, it's a brilliant take. And what I think people might be bothered by is this insistence that it's not a business from the colleges and NCAA point of view. And what happens is, I don't believe this. I don't think this to be true. I know it to be true. That people feel like you're being lied to. Like, look, you're being lied to. But the truth is that the business exists, right? Because what it provides for all students, athletes or otherwise. And it's not that colleges don't understand that athletes bring value, but they're getting a bunch in return. Like, this is the way this business has worked for a long time and has been able to sustain itself no matter what's happening in the rest of the world or what's happening in the rest of the country. Like, it's pretty amazing. Really amazing. But, you know, it's like, I mean, church is the same thing. Like, a church is a business, doesn't pay taxes. You know, churches influence politically, but it's not supposed to. All this, these are things that society has had for 100 years and hasn't changed. And though there is some incremental change in name, image, and likeness has changed it substantially, I think the core of what it is in terms of schools paying out to athletes, people misassociate that and some with this element to it. That's what the Fox said. What does the Fox say? This is LeVar Arrington on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe talking about the Detroit Lions' first win.
That first one is the hardest one to get now. I don't know how many more they'll win, but once you get that first win, again, I lived it. We went 0-5. We didn't go as far, as long in the season losing as Detroit did. But I'll tell you what, once we got that first win, it just sometimes it's more compelling for that team that gets their first win to play amazingly, more amazingly after that than the other teams that should beat them. They just don't play as well because it's like their season's just starting. They don't have the fatigue of being 8, 9, 10 games into the year. Their season just started when they got that one win. And sometimes that's dangerous, man. You get a team that starts feeling that way this late in the season, that you know, they could be a trap game for a lot of guys.
I that was a huge win for Detroit. It solidifies Dan Campbell in that they had the lead, gave the lead away, and came back and win the game. And that's kind of part of what he's looking for. It's not perfect, but you're getting a lot out of it. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so we got a big Monday Night Football game to get to. Joel Klatt is going to join us. We'll ask him not just about this weekend's games, which were, I got killed in my picks. 2-8 in my picks. Sorry. Sorry. And like, it's one of those where you're picking against that. Like, why am I picking against Alabama? But then I watched the whole college football season. I thought I knew. And I picked the toughest games, and those games were really tough. I didn't do well, but I'll try and get him back. Coming up next, here's what we're going to do, okay? I think the best and most competitive division in the NFL at the start of the year isn't as competitive, right? Like, Denver's okay. The Raiders aren't the same with firing Gruden, losing Henry Ruggs as well as others. You know, they played without Darren Waller yesterday. But the AFC West is an interesting division, mostly because you have the Chiefs, who are in first place, have a good record. Their defense has played very well of late. And yet, I don't know. Are you buying them? Right? They've won a Super Bowl, played in a Super Bowl, and should have been in a third Super Bowl. And they won again yesterday. They're on a winning streak. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. I think I can get to the bottom of the Pat Mahomes thing. Truly. Truly get right to the bottom of it. And you know what? We'll do that. Plus Joe Klatt. Plus recap the awfulness of my picks this weekend and where I was so wrong. That's upcoming next on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.